Support comes from the St. Louis Public Library Foundation. During these challenging times, free access to digital resources is a necessity. You can help our community stay connected. Support your St. Louis Public Library at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. It's time for our monthly rundown of the restaurants that have opened and the ones that have closed in the St. Louis area. Joining me now is STLPR digital editor Jessica Rogan. Jessica, thanks for coming back.
Hey, Lynn.
And STLPR morning newscaster and host of The Gateway, Abby Lurico.
Happy 2026. Good to be here.
Now, we usually start these rundowns with openings, but I want to reverse that order today and kind of go out of the norm to talk about a closure that was announced just this past weekend. And that's the Del Mar location of Steve's Hot Dogs and the Fountain on Del Mar. The last day of service for both of those spots will be this Saturday. Jessica, what can you tell us about this?
So those two spots were in kind of this area for restaurants called the Del Mar Makers Locale. It was like this courtyard surrounded by a couple different restaurant concepts, which included those two, an empty space for a brewery that was supposed to be Alpha Brewing but has never gone in, and Ben Perimba's Nixta. So owners Danny Eckenhorst and Steve Ewing announced on social media that, you know, their two restaurants would close because of fallout from the tornado.
Mm-hmm.
So this wasn't like they couldn't get it together to rebuild the restaurants and reopen. They did that. What they were saying is that the neighborhood hadn't rebounded and they weren't seeing the kind of traffic to support the businesses.
So what do we know then about what is next for this restaurant group?
So they still have a lot of different concepts out there. If you're a fan of The Fountain, the original one in Locust is still there. Steve's Hot Dogs has a Chesterfield location and a South Grand one, and they're in like City Park and Enterprise Center. Steve has also said that they will be opening a food truck. So you can still get this food. It's sad that this concept didn't work out. It was a really fun place to go, especially if you have a little kid, because it was all fenced in.
Oh, right.
But you know, these things happen, and that neighborhood has like a lot of recovery to do, especially
for
the restaurants.
I just drove by there the other day, and that's true. There's still very much recovery to happen. Now, before we go through some other closings, and these will be spots that closed in December, mm-hmm. Abby, why is this time of year in particular a challenging one for restaurants?
It's not the most wonderful time of the year for them for so many reasons. Think about us as consumers on our side. We're maybe watching our wallets a little bit more toward the end of the year. When we are, quote unquote, going out to eat, maybe gathering in people's homes instead of going to restaurants. So you could have a cold winter's day where the restaurant traffic is really low, or conversely, you have a big group of people deciding to have their end of year celebration at the restaurant, and then all of a sudden it's slammed. So that's kind of consistency is hard for restaurants to manage. And of course, we've talked a lot, especially in the past couple of years, about staffing and how much that's an ongoing challenge for restaurants. They want to keep their staff happy and keep them retained. Sometimes that means maybe offering more time off during this time of year. And I also think, you know, end of year, beginning of a new one is a time when a lot of folks take stock of what's working in life and what isn't. And small business owners, restaurateurs are people too. And a lot of them are doing that as well. So it can be a particularly insightful time of year for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked on this show previously about the speakeasy trend in St. Louis, and we saw the speakeasy New Society in Tower Grove East close in December. Do we know why, Abby?
I think this is one that, in some ways, coming to a new iteration is going to be part of the overall story. New Society's menus, I have one at home. I hope taking that one home was not leading to their downfall in any way.
You didn't jinx it.
Yeah, hopefully not. But, you know, it was like a cocktail storybook because that's very much how they operated the space. And stories have an end. And I think that that's what the owners or the operators, Michael Fricker, who still, by the way, owns Monstera Mezcaleria. That's always a word that's fun to say. And Natural Wine Bar above there on South Grand, as well as Meredith Berry, who is a renowned mixologist in the St. Louis area. They, when they announced the closure, they kind of said it as such, that this is time for this particular story to end. If you never got the chance to go inside, it was the type of speakeasy that kind of felt like true to the concept behind a cabinet, kind of like a cool basement vibe downstairs. And the cocktails were the type of things that you had to order to really understand what was going on. I had a corn cocktail there once. And so now I will say this one is sad, but I'm going to say it's not dreadful because they still have that space. And so what could be the next chapter for it, I think we're going to have to watch in 2026.
Well, and St. Louis is known for comeback stories, if nothing else. Over in St. Louis Hills, Cafe Canadara has, for now, closed its doors. Jessica, tell us about this one.
So if you've never been there, this is a very delicious Korean, I'm going to say Korean chicken, although they had other dishes as well, spot. And This is, as the restaurant wrote on Facebook, a bittersweet moment because they will be reopening in the space that used to be Mom's Deli in Lindenwood Park. So this is not a goodbye. This is a see you later. They had been planning to close to do that move, but their water heater broke and, you know, not the time to make a big repair in a space you're about to not use. And I will note that they are doing catering orders now to support that move. So if you love their food, great time to get a big dish of it for your family.
For Ferguson Brewing Company, is that also the story? Are they closing to open somewhere else?
Not quite. So Ferguson Brewing Company is sadly going away. So this was a like longtime favorite like hangout kind of in the downtown Ferguson area. If you've ever been, it's kind of like a small-ish bar, really good food menu, and of course the beers that they brewed. The owners had been looking to sell that business and have someone else operate it as it was. That unfortunately did not happen. But instead, it got purchased by the very aptly named Good News Brewing. So it there will still be a new concept there, and I think people will still love to have it. But it is not going to be Ferguson Brewing Company. Mm-hmm.
And Good News, I think, is also along the Katy Trail.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, So this will be their a new location.
Mm-hmm. Now, Abby, in Tower Grove Southeast, we saw the closure of Little Lucy and Lucy Q right next to each other. And these are closures that you noted in the newsroom soon after they were announced. Now, before we get to the why, tell us about the food here.
This one, preparing to talk about this, is why I packed two breakfasts today, Elaine, because it was really good food, and just thinking about it makes me hungry. This is actually in the former Beast Barbecue space in the Grove. Acclaimed chef Ben Welch opened this. We talked about it here on the podcast last spring. This was an homage to his grandmother. So one half was Lucy Q. It had stylish decor. It was kind of elevated, an impressive art collection on the walls. The other side was Little Lucy. I kind of described it as like a baddie Barbie diner because it had this like neon pink, black and white thing going
on. So baddie, B-A-D-D-I-E, not B-A-T-T-Y.
You know, depending on how many of the Bloody Marys you had, then,
sure.
But it kind of felt like the type of space you could spend a day in. It was Southern food initially, which is one of my favorite cuisines. I mean, people say sometimes that St. Louis is a Southern town, but they had the kind of items on the menu that you didn't really always see other places. Nashville hot po' boy, crab beignets. I'm bummed I never got to try the crawfish etouffee biscuits and gravy. Longtime listeners will know how I feel about biscuits and gravy. But they had actually transitioned to a barbecue menu over at Lucy Q in just the last couple of weeks of 2025 in an attempt to kind of appeal more to the neighborhood and fill that dining room up. And then they posted that they were actually going to close both concepts at the end of 2025. Chef Welch says, due to a number of factors, I have to imagine I brought my best friend from New York City was in town last year, and I took her to all these great places in St. Louis, and we sat at the bar there, and she was like, this is great, and turned around. She's like, where are all the people? And I think that little anecdote there, like, don't let that be someone's impression of St. Louis restaurants this year. Go out and enjoy these spaces because they're really a lovely place to spend some time.
Mm-hmm. Now, just across the street on the next block of Manchester, the closure of Pie Guy actually struck a chord with me because Britt Lockhart, who's a musician we featured in an artist profile back in May, played a residency there over the summer with Ish Ensemble, and that's an Afro jazz fusion group he founded. And it was also a spot that my husband and I dropped by before hitting Atomic by Jamo for live music. Now, Sauce Magazine reported in September that Pie Guy had reduced hours and slices only service for internal changes, and I did see that a notice posted to its front door indicates closure for health department issues, and it's unclear whether it will reopen at some point. But there's something about the stopping of service, actually, even before December, right, Jessica?
So there's never been any announcement from the business, but, you know, people report that, like, they tried to go and it was closed. So it may be one of those quiet closure situations where the owners decided to just, like, kind of close up shop without announcing it and let their permits expire.
Mm-hmm. And that also is relatively common. Now, over in the Hill neighborhood, Jessica, a local favorite closed in December, and that was Rockstar Tacos.
So this one hit me hard. This was announced, but Rockstar Tacos was within the Gaslight Theater, it was kind of like over-the-top tacos meets kind of stoner food. it was so delicious and decadent. But you would go and they would just immediately give you a little, like, container of popcorn with rock star dust, which is just, like, tasty seasoning, which it sounds like they might still be selling. So I'm really hoping for that. And, you know, everything from, like, loaded fries to, like, just every taco you could think of. And when I was pregnant, I went there and had the only decent non-alcoholic cocktail that I had. It was, like, a spicy NA margarita. Mm. So, you know, I'm just very sad to see it go. And I know a lot of other people are, you know, they were open about 4 years, and the owners just said they're really exhausted, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Now, there were other closings, too, but the last one I want to talk about is Wheelhouse in downtown St. Louis. And this is a spot that made some headlines over the years, didn't it, Abby?
Yeah. First, I would say, as a hangout for the freshly minted Stanley Cup winners from the 2019 Blues, that was a favorite after-party spot for them. It was a big part of that Spruce Street nightlife area. Then 2020, of course, rolls around, and they weren't in favor of a lot of the restrictions that were implemented there for health and safety reasons. And so they kind of made some headlines then for tossing those rules aside or very loosely enforcing them. You also, and staying open, frankly. And it also recently was kind of known as a spot where things would go down, and not always in a good way. And so it started to kind of, it followed the path of its neighbors there on Spruce Street by that same ownership group, which you had you know, Start Bar closing recently. And so you still have some of the nightlife spots around there, but Wheelhouse was unable to also find a new ownership group. And so they closed at the end of New Year's Eve 2025 into 2026.
Well, Abby, you referred to 2026 and starting it. So to put us on a sunnier and more hopeful note, let's get to some of the recent openings around town. Jessica, December brought the London Tea Room back, this time in De Bolivar Place, just north of Forest Park. This is the same London Tea Room people might remember at previous spots on Wash Ave or Locust. And I think I remember it's being on Morganford.
Yes, this is the same London Tea Room. So it was most recently in downtown and had they'd moved to this big space and it did not work out with the landlord. Like part of the space was not usable as they had thought it would be. And, you know, they closed and just did an online tea shop for a few years. So this is the same business. However, if you have been to there before, the concept is a little bit different. I went to check it out, kind of expecting something similar to like the cafe they had on Morganford. And it's actually a huge tea room for doing like high teas and like other teas like that. And then they have a smaller tea shop where you can get loose leaf and kind of like goods. And there isn't really that like cafe walk in, just get a cup of tea concept anymore. I'm glad to have it back. I did buy their Cream Earl Grey, which is great if you haven't had it. But I'm hoping that they'll eventually decide that they need the cafe portion as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that one. Jessica, there's also a place in Kirkwood that has opened. Tell us about Little Loft Play Cafe.
So this is for all the parents out there. I'm sorry talking so much about kids today. But Little Loft Play Cafe is this kind of concept that does exist already in the region, but it's always good to have another one. It's like a play space with a ton of toys and maybe some like creative things like, you know, markers and that kind of stuff. And you pay like, you know, a small fee to go in and let your kid loose in the space. And then there's also a coffee shop attached. So you can sit and get a cup of coffee, maybe a nice meal, and your child runs crazy around the room. And you don't have to clean it up after them. I was excited to see the Little Loft Play Cafe open in Kirkwood. It looks adorable, really like storybook pictures. And I just can't wait to go there.
Now, the Scottish Arms in the Central West End reopen, and that is very exciting, Abby.
Yeah, I'm not quite with my little one at Play Cafe level, but I am trying to raise a little tiny European baby, I guess you could say, because I brought her to the Scottish Arms over the weekend. And it's great to see that reopened, a longtime favorite in the Central West End. And it's a true public house, and it maintains that identity, even though it has a new ownership, bringing together a team of hospitality folks with experience at a lot of different local favorites, the Royale Perennial, for example. This is on the kind of more quiet side of the Central West End in a historic building near Newmarket Hardware and Retreat Gastropub. And happy to report the fish and chips are still on the menu, as is the shepherd's pie, which my baby was a fan of, actually. and it's still kind of rolling out more of a menu from what I understand from talking to folks there. It's indulgent, but not as heavy as it might sound. It still left some room for us for some bread pudding at the end of our meal, which I highly recommend. It's softened up a little bit. The lighting is really soft in there. The kind of place where you want to spend some time. Again, my husband, my baby, and I were hanging out there in the booth. There was a book club nearby, and we could have just hung out for a while, but wanted to give our table to the folks who were waiting. So we sat in like the lounge area to finish our beers. And so it's, again, great to see another comeback story to end 2025 and start 2026.
Mm-hmm. Abby Lurico is our morning newscaster and host of the Gateway podcast, and Jessica Rogan is STLPR's digital editor. Jessica and Abby, thanks for joining us.
See you next month.
And as a reminder, you can see a list of the restaurants we talked about and others on our website. Visit stlpr.org/new restaurants.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Hi, I'm Laura Hamden, and my colleague Jessica Rogan and I are your daily hosts of the Gateway Newsletter. We meet with the editors in the STLPR newsroom every weekday to bring you the top local stories of the day in a quick and easy 6-minute read by 6 a.m. In an age of overwhelm, it's a refreshing, thoughtful take on the news day, if we do say so ourselves. Fine-tune your daily news habit with the Gateway Newsletter. Subscribe at stlpr.org/gateway.